Today's class began with apology. So, somehow that we have been doing this breathing meditation quite a long time. Somehow I screw up, so I want to apologize. Yeah. So, because we have been doing this number of different breathing meditations, you know, once for, how say, if you get like, how you say, if your mind get too excited, so there's another breathing meditation there, we've been doing that. There's another breathing meditation, so, how you say, to help yourself, to basically to lift up, you know, your energy. So that one, then normal breathing meditation, then this nine round breathing meditations. So that's the one screw up. Okay, so I want to demonstrate again today. So sorry, so but we didn't lose anything. We didn't lose anything. So I think it needs to be correct, okay? So the reason, so because the one of our member, Marge, is driving me to home after the class. She's asking me, so then I, you know, turns out, so then I have to open the books. Then when I open the books, it's wrong. It's incorrect. And it's okay, everybody made a mistake. And it's okay. So today, from now on, we'll learn. Oh, yeah. So this nine round breathing meditation, so if you are, you know, spending like a good amount of time through the day to concentrate, you know. So try to you know, develop mindfulness, whatever technique that you are using, you know, using like, so that here the point is, you know, to, if you are doing mindfulness, kind of mindfulness meditations. So there's another meditation called, what is it called? Transcendental? So anybody knows? What it means? I'm not sure. That's what it means?
Very trance-like.
Meditation on the mantra? You have to know the mantras. They give you a mantra, then what do you do?
You meditate on the sound.
Sound, just a sound or meaning? Both? Just sound. So anyway, so this is... So I heard when I come to, you know, America, so transcendental meditations. So anyway... So if you are, you know, spending like good amount of time throughout the day to being mindfulness through using any techniques, you may not need to, you know, do this nine round breathing meditations. So this nine round breathing meditation is for this. Come, okay. Hello. So nine round breathing meditations is, you know. Maybe some of you say the mic, so maybe what is the I think I explained this many times, so so maybe I want some of you say rather than me saying, okay? So this, I'm saying this from every Sunday, so maybe people ears burn out. So the purpose of developing mindfulness, why we concentrate, please. Somebody explain why we concentrate, okay?
I'm going to do my best.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think from what I gather from your teachings, the purpose of the nine-round breathing meditation is to clear the channels, right? And we have 70,000 channels, as I understand. Mm-hmm. And so throughout the day, throughout every day, is that oftentimes these channels become blocked,
mm-hmm.
right? And so what we're trying to achieve is to clear these out, this blockage. Exactly what's meant by block, I'm not sure. I think what happens is that if we get frustrated, if we get uptight about things, you know, then that really makes it difficult for us to be able to go through the day feeling peaceful, and can really block us from really being able to be the type of person we want to be at that time. So we want to clear this out. Any type of blockage, any time you call it waste. Waste energy.
Mm-hmm.
So any type of energy like that, we want to clear that out, and then the energy or the wind, as it goes through the channels, then it can flow freely throughout all these channels, which can really benefit us throughout the day in terms of making things much more smoother for us, much more calm, less frustrated, and so forth.
Yeah. So the reason I think this needs to be correct is important, you know. So everything I explain here, you know, so it has origin. It's not, you know, like it's like how I say, I want you to learn. I want you to learn. So something that has, you know, history. You know, it's been taught 100 years ago. Been tested and produced great result. Okay, so that's important because I'm hoping that you will pass on. So then make sure, you know, we pass on the, at least we pass on something, you know, like I say, something that's been taught, you know. So then whether there is progress has been made or not is all totally depend on individuals. So this 9-round breathing meditations, so this is like eliminate wasteful energy, long roll, wasteful energy that's been stuck in our channels. Huh? As you know, Andrea said, that's like according to Vajrayana teaching, there's like 72,000 channels that are in our body. So I don't think the surgeon can find, but there are according to Vajrayana teaching, there are 72,000 channels that are in our body. Because of that, and with energy, we move, we blink, you know, so chew or whatever. Everything is done by, you know, those energy and the channels. So then out of these 72,000 channels, there's, you know, three main channels close to the back. So we are not going to talk about that. So possible, I don't know them very well. I do know that we have. So wasteful energy, how that has been created? Okay, so this, according to the teachings, this has been created not able to focus, concentrate, or mindful, whatever you call. No, when you concentrate, then the mind becomes more flexible, or more balanced. Okay, so according to the Vajrayana teachings, this is important. So make sure that we all learn learn exactly the way the text explained. Okay. So, when you concentrate, then you balance the mind. Sim. That's mind in Tibetan called sim. Less ruwa means, you know, well balanced. So, that's what happens when you concentrate. So, in order to concentrate, we need object. Otherwise, we can't concentrate. I'm not sure how you concentrate. So according to the teaching, that you have to have object to concentrate. So, that's more like pole. Okay, mind is more like elephant, so powerful. So our job is to tie that elephant to the pole. So that pole has to be steady and strong. Because the mind is, the elephant is so powerful, it could just rip up easily. So there's objects, so that means, you know, so like changing object probably not good idea according to the dad. You know, that means unsteady object means, you know, changing object constantly, that's also, you know, have negative impact on your mindfulness, okay? So now the mindfulness itself is like rope. So now you have rope, There's mindfulness, your mindfulness. Elephant, your mind. Object, there's pole. Pole, strong pole. Then the wisdom, the your wisdom. There's the tools, So make the tools, you know, so like then if the elephant get too excited, you have to calm down. If elephant is too sleepy, you have to wake it up like that. So that's the wisdom. Then now wisdom, like tools, mindfulness like rope, object is like pole. The wisdom, that's like tools, you know. Tools in India, you know, as I said, in the forest department, they use elephant to unload, this, you know, big lumber. So they have, you know, this piece of metal. So the elephant don't do their work, so they poke a little bit. So then the elephant, you know, do. So basically, let elephant walk the way you want to walk. You know? So that's wisdom. Elephant, your mind. The hitching force, that's object. So the mindfulness, there's a rope. So that's our job. So then now, why? Why are you trying to tie that elephant? If you don't tie elephant on the object, so that's how this wasteful energy is created. So then, you know, energy, you cannot stop because it will run through your channels, no matter it's positive, balance, imbalance, any energy that goes through your channels. So more negative energy goes through your channels that create physical discomfort. So that will contribute to mental discomfort. That's exactly what the text says. It's exactly, I didn't add up anything. That's exactly what the text said, okay. So that's why, that's how this, you know, not able to tie the elephant, so powerful, not able to tie, let the elephant run wild. No, so that's no good. You can't calm, you can't calm down, you can't be peaceful, you can't relax. Because, you know, this elephant is running all over the place, not just running, it's running like wild. No, it's not just running, it's wild. You know? So that's how this, you know, imbalanced energy has been created. So therefore, the concentration is important. Or necessary, it's important, regardless whether you are believing some or believer or not believer, regardless, as long as you have mind, it's important. You know? That's why you concentrate. So that's why you, how you explain, you know, why you concentrate. That's why you concentrate. When you concentrate, then you balance your mind. So that very mind that balances the energy, because every mind comes with energy. Every mind comes with energy. We call lung. Roll means waste, long roll. So concentrations, we're trying to develop more useful energy. Because every mind, whether it's positive, negative, neutral, it comes with energy. Every mind has energy, comes with energy. So the energy can be negative, means imbalance, because not able to concentrate. So then that's why you concentrate, okay? So, so now this 9-round breathing meditation to how to eliminate this wasteful, that energy has been created by letting this elephant, letting this elephant go wild or go everywhere. Okay, so this meditation has been screwed up. Unfortunately, all the blame goes here, not to the text. It goes here. So not also talking about mindful, not being mindful. Talking about the mindful, but not being mindful. Talking about the benefit of eating health, but not eating health. Like to talk, you know? Talk the good things about eating health, Swiss chard, but you yourself don't eat. So not doesn't taste good. You know? So anyways, from now on, we all have responsibility, not just me, okay? So now we are all learning today again. Left hand. Okay. Please block you. This is like eliminating the wasteful energy that is stuck, because that contributes to physical discomfort. Okay. Left hand, block, left nostril. That's correct. Yeah. inhale. Then, there's one. Each time when you inhale, you count. The first one will start again, okay? Each time when you inhale, count. Remember, that's one, okay? We'll do three times.
We still exhale first?
No, inhale. That's why I screw up.
Okay.
Inhale. Okay. I'm not embarrassed. No, not embarrassed, but I feel sorry. I feel bad because, you know, I will be doing this incorrectly. But, you know, I hope there's some benefit too. So anyway, from now on, please, everybody pay attention. Left hand first, left hand, blow your left nostril. Inhale. One. That's three. It will help. No. So now, right hand, inhale. That's six. So now, it's done from nose, not from mouth. This is called 9 round breathing meditations. Lung roll gu. Lung roll, lung energy, roll, restful, lung roll. Gu 9 chuk. Like set. Gu chuk. 9 set. That's what we call 9 set of meditation. Lung gu chuk. Cell, eliminate. This meditation called eliminating the restful energy through 9 set of breathing meditations. No, 9 sets. Like 9 round breathing meditation goes set, there's 3 set. 3, 3, 3. There's 3 set. 3, 3, 3. That's called exactly, Lung Ro Gutu cell. Okay? Lung Ro Gutu. Lung, energy, roll, restful, gu, 9, chuk, set, cell, eliminate. Lung Ro cell. One more time, please. Maybe two more is necessary. So, first, left hand, please, left hand, blow the left nostril, inhale from right nostril. One. Two. Yeah, that's three. So then, please, right hand, blow the right nostril. Now everybody remembers? Huh? Everybody remembers? Yeah. Sorry for the mistake. Very, very sorry for the mistake. Because we've been doing this, so then not being mindful, which had fast, so then that's what happened. You know? I will take all the blames, nobody else, not that much, nobody blame.
You always start with the left hand?
Yeah. No. Always start with the left hand. That's correct. That's absolutely correct. Left hand, before I'm doing like this, left hand block, left nostril, begin with inhale. So Maji is going like this, that means correct. So she's the one who asked me, so then I have to end up opening the books. So I think it's always good to begin with 9 round breathing meditations, whatever meditation that you use to develop concentrations. So always begin with 9-round breathing meditation, okay? That's good. First eliminate, so then develop, then generate more restful, useful energy. You know? So if you are here first time, if you have questions, what is the sitting, proper sitting when you do meditation? So there will be a lot of people who can answer that. Please, no, don't feel shy. Ask them, you know. They will help you, okay, to save the time because it says end at 11:20. Yeah. So one question here. I'm not sure this word. What it says? This one.
Belief.
Oh, belief. Okay, belief. What happened to an individual after enlightenment? Very big questions. This Christmas, believe Jesus is in heaven. Where is the Buddha? Need to find the email address. Google search. So this is question will come from Buddhist knowledge. The questions are answered will come from Buddhist knowledge. Okay, not based on my experience. So. What happened to an individual after enlightenment? So the word enlightenment been used broadly, you know, in any like occasion, you know, they use. I think one of the American presidents, I'm not sure. So who? There's something I don't remember. Anyway, from the Buddhist point of view. The definition of enlightenment is, you know, roughly, you know, not very detailed. You know, that will take probably couple of years, many years to explain. Because it's just one word, but underneath that there's so much information there. Enlightenment. So from Buddhist point of view, the definition of enlightenment is. Someone who free their mind completely free their mind from negative thought and the tendency or seeds of negative thought, you know? Tendency. You understand tendency? Seeds, no? So the best way to eliminate that, if you burn the seed, then there will be no ongoing, you know, so seed, you know, when you burn, that's the best way to eliminate through the root. You know. Somebody who, you know, through effort, through, you know, mainly through joyful effort, you know, to who free their mind completely from negative thoughts and together with the seeds. That's definition of enlightenment from Buddhist point of view. That's how you enlighten. When you free yourself from completely from negative minds, then you enlighten. So, there's limitations. You know, there's limitations when it comes down to mind. There's limit, not mind itself. You know, when it comes down to my mind, there's limit. When it comes down to my patient, there's limit. You know, it goes certain levels, then it stops. Then it reverses back. Oh, <yeah. clears throat> So when you enlighten, there's no limit. The mind, you know, there's the inner quality of your, you know, love, no limit. Compassion, no limit. Patience, no limit. Generosity, no limit. It's all become limitless. There's no limit. So because of that, you know... Because of that power of mind, you can do so many things that, you know, that that ordinary beings cannot do. What is called, then you achieve called Siddhi. Siddhi, spiritual achievement, attainment, called Siddhi, Sanskrit word, Siddhi. Or in Tibetan called Ngudup, you know, Siddhi. There's like four great types of Siddhis, Maha Siddhi. Or there's like, then you reach there. When you reach that, to, you know, free your mind from the all the afflicted minds, so that because of these four Siddhis, so there are, you know, that you do so many different things you can do simultaneously. So now the second question, enlightenment. This Christmas, I believe, where's the Buddha? This is quite true. Where's the Buddha? Kala miba tso chewa tiyudu na tsuba shiusu. So Shakyamuni Buddha, that's the tribe or particular race called Shakya. Clan. So that's in India, Shakya, you know, that the Princess Siddhartha was born in that clan called Shakya. When you hear word Shakyamuni Buddha, we are talking about historical Buddha, the person who was born in India, grew up there, you know, that's Shakyamuni Buddha. So from the Buddhist point of view, there's many Buddha's pure land. There's many Buddha pure lands. So what you do, you create your own pure land, okay? How? According to the teachings. So while you are walking on the path, you are imagining, you know, environment is like perfect, just pure, just perfect, you know, no problems. So that's one way to create the cause to build your own pure land. That's how it can be done while you are walking on the path. That you are thinking, you know, from Buddhist point of view, that you are thinking this environment is like the mandala. The mandala, that's like the in that the trees, when trees moves, it says something positive. It's probably saying everything is impermanent. There's sudden sound, everything, you know, the water, sound of the water, sound of the bird, sound of the squirrel, everything's like saying something important message, you know. The sound of the trees, the wind, when the tree blows by wind, it's a sound, it creates sounds of, you know, there's teachings, the waterfall, everything, you know, just pure. So then you are just, you know, while you are walking on the path, you're imagining, that's like, how you say, creating a cause to your own, you know, your own future Buddha's pure land. So then imagining everybody in that environment is just, you know, but we, from the Buddhist point of view, you are thinking like them, like yogi and yoginis, you know, dakha and dakinis, something pure. You don't see any problems. Called thakpa ramjam. Thakpa means pure. Ramjam means just pure. Thakpa ramjam. Thakpa ramjam, just pure. Thakpa means pure. Ramjam means just pure. No problems. In environment, beautiful. People, beautiful. That's how you think. That's what you think. That's create the cause to the pure, your own pure lens. So now, then where is Buddha? So that question has been asked. One of the students from Greensboro, University of Greensboro, he asked, where is Buddha? I kind of lost at that moment because I, this question never been raised in monastery, you know, so nobody asked, where's the Buddha? So all of a sudden, the monastery now said, where's the Buddha? So my mind kind of go blank. It's still blank. You are very happy. I have answers. I don't have answers. See? So what I can say, you know, Kala Mibatso Chavas, Kala Mibatso Chavas, Tidina Tubashus. T means in space before you. T means space before you. Shuk means remain. Ti juna shuk. Kala mibato shuk. That's the one. If you are convinced the Buddha is there, then Buddha is there. Kala mibato shiva. It's based on your, how you say, mibha. Sometimes they translate it called inspirations. Sometimes it's more like the mibha. Dupa is desire. So mibha means, you know, like that you. Anyway, if you, so the, I think, don't worry about the finding the fancy word. So the bottom line is to, if you think, that's what it means. If you think something is there, it is there. If you think the Buddha's the space before you, then Buddha's there. You know. So when you enlighten, you are not limited by space. You know, it's like almost like, you know, like mind consciousness. You know, if I think now in my hometown, I'm already there. It's like that. You know. Kala mibhatsa cheva te juna chubhashus. If you are doing some practice, if you believe or if you think, you know, Tara is there. Tara is there. Oh, there's no limit. Oh. So right now, there's limit. So yesterday I've been talking to one of the central members called Stephanie. She called me. She's in Washington, D.C., just visiting her uncle. She called me that she, there's one very top scientist. He's graduated from Harvard. So he don't believe anything like that. He has this, a stroke or something that he had, like, so this, she's going to bring articles anyway, in the newspaper. So she is very skeptical about, you know, this, you know, experience about, you know, all these things. So that he himself now kind of embarrassed to tell people that he really felt something, that, you know, life is much more bigger than you think. That's why his conclusion, life is much more bigger. You know, from 2,500 years ago, Buddhism already discovered that. That's not very, very new for them. News, it's not news for them. They already discovered that. So life is, he said, life is much more bigger, because looks like the way he explained. So I'll bring this article, then put it here, then everybody can read. So he describes something that, you know, like he entered into some realms, like. And it's everything, just no love, there's no suffering. Everything. Then he explained that the sound of the tree, there's something like something good. So then she's asking me, you know, like, what is that? You know, so then I probably felt, you know, some kind of the, how do you say, celestial realms, you know. celestial realms, you know, there's no, like, there's no gross suffering at all, you know. If you want something, you just create. Nobody fighting for power. No elections been there. There's no elections, no campaign, no campaign aids, things like that. Everything is just, people just, if you think something, if you think about, you know, chocolate, how you say, if you think about chocolate chips from the Whole Food, tastes so good, it's warm, so good. The minute you put is the chocolate melts. If you think, it's just there. Nobody makes it, you know, like that. So anyway, I think, you know, so from my point of view, that probably is entering into some celestial, you know, some realms or whatever. That's like within our realms, there are, you know, many, many different levels of celestial realms. So the, my answer here, where's the Buddha? So that's two lines. It's there before you. If you think it's there, it's there. So it's not really so. yeah. So I think that's the answer. So then here, a couple of minutes. So I've been talking. Not reading this, I'm supposed to read these books, you know, that book that we've been studying. So I'm supposed to read these books, you know, a little bit here, there. So I've been talking too much beside this book. So today, if you have this book, please look. I would like to read. So also keep one thing in your mind, you know. So the Buddhism, you know, is about, it's all come down to mind, okay. So development of the mind. It all comes out of development of the mind. So there's, you know, different levels. So this is the highest level highest level of, you know, how to open your heart, basically how to open your heart, you know, in the highest level, so called Mayana path. So, Ramala, you have the book, same book? Let's go. So there's one section that I would like to talk. This is called about practice called giving and taking. Don't learn practice. I really want to, you know, spend some time there to explain, you know, explain how that has been done, okay? So I think we finished session number 7, now number 8. Samula, can you read, because your pronunciation is 1,000 times better than mine.
It's on page 63 if you have the same book. May the sufferings of all beings who, like myself, are driven by their karma and their habituation to the afflictions be heaped upon me, the hedonist.
So it says, Leji Deshin, Nimo Companies. From the Buddhist point of view, this life is, you know, so because of that, we cannot fix everything. Because from Buddhist point of view, because of karma, or actions, you know, we can fix everything. In order to fix everything, everybody has to take responsibility for their own actions. Then that's the way to fix everything. Otherwise, you fixing your girlfriend fixing a boyfriend, that's a difficult job. But you are welcome to try, but it's a difficult job. You know? It is not easy, you know. Like leji te, then leis, no, the Tibetan word. Sanskrit karma, in English actions, le, action of speech, mind, body, you know. That's why this Mahatma Gandhi, you know, he has these three monkeys, closing. If it's not necessary, don't say, you know. If it's not necessary, don't watch, don't look, if it's not necessary, don't listen. That's the minimum we can do as a beginner. Avoid the object. If you can't apply, you know, so don't stay there, you know, then try, don't avoid the objects, you know. That's for beginner. You need difficult object. Sound, unpleasant sound, if you can avoid. Difficult, you know, appearances, if you can avoid. You know, difficult, you know, like events, things and events, that's more difficult, more challenging in the mind. If you can avoid, then just avoid. So then, according to Mother Teresa, as I said, this is very important. Mother says, prayer, love, on the prayer, how the soul of them? Yeah. Prayers, yeah. Faith. Prayer, faith, love, actions. You know, Mother Teresa happened in our generation. It's not like history of Shakyamuni Buddha. None of us have seen Mother Teresa. No, many of us know it happened in our generations. Somebody who I think is, you know, like really embrace those messages, you know, from her heart. So regardless, Buddhist, Islam, Jewish, Christian, all kind of people loves Mother Teresa. You know, that's why she called symbol of love and compassion. That's the mother. So prayer, faith, love, actions. Prayer, the way the mother described the prayer, silence of word, imaginations, sound. That's what mother say. It's true. So now, how that can be done? How you can be silent? How you can be silent as a Buddhist monk? What I know, so you have to concentrate. If you concentrate, if you're reading something, concentrate, if you're thinking something, concentrating on something, you know, otherwise it's very difficult to, especially to noise of the mind, to be silenced from the noise of the mind, that's not easy. So what you do, you concentrate, you think something good, something good. So for the beginner, we don't know how to do that, so we read prayers, you know. We read prayers, most we memorize. We memorize things. That's why I requested in the Wednesday night class, I requested people to memorize Lamrim outline. So when you memorize them, then you go through, then your mind is strict with something positive. So then your mind cannot think two different things simultaneously. That's the nature of mind. Mind cannot do that. You know, mind focus. Okay, so that's according to Mother Teresa, you know, silence, that's a prayer. So silence of word, silence of imaginations, silence of, you know, what is it, image, all those things. So legitations is important. It's not because, from Buddhist point of view, it's not because of somebody created you, you know. It's because of your actions. Life is driven by actions, not like somebody's wish, you know, you to suffer, or somebody wish you to be successful, unsuccessful, you are good, not good, good looking, not good looking, is based on our actions, legitations. So then, top of that, it sounds like kind of negative information, but actually it's not negative information, that's the reality, right? Legitations, you know, this life is driven by actions. So therefore, it's very difficult to fix everything. Things happen based on reason. It happens, you know, it's based on reason, that's reason, you know. There's not, nobody to blame. Certain things, I'm saying the primary things, you know, so there's nobody to blame. But there's, then the primary cause, you know, it's like the karma, then there's conditions, you know, conditions. You know, that's different issues. Legitimacy. Nimo combines. Nimo means afflicted mind. Afflicted mind. Kom means become so familiar. So easy to get upset. Doesn't require something big. So we get irritated very easily. So mindfulness helps a great deal. You know, mindfulness helps a great deal. So isn't that amazing that, you know, doesn't require much to get you upset, to me upset. It's really amazing, you know, like, the mind needs to develop. Mind needs to be developed. Because of this mind, so much happiness can be achieved. Because of this mind, unfortunately, so many suffering that you may experience because of this mind. So it's really, you know, like, it requires something, constant effort to have, you know, steady, peaceful mind. It requires some, you know, constant effort, okay? So day-to-day life, throughout the day, you know, I can even count how many thoughts that pops up in my mind. I'm trying very hard to let pop something positive. Trying very hard. That requires some effort. You know, in the morning, the minute you wake up in the morning, it requires some effort to think something good. Something good. You know? So otherwise, it's very, you know, like, when you closely examine, actually, the things that is in your mind is not big things, small things. It can be tiny noise. It can be tiny things that move here to there. It's like, it's easy, you can move from here to there. It's not easy. It's much better to move this thing from here to there than lose your peace of mind. So like that, you know, you examine throughout your day. When you're with your friends, how your mind gets irritated, certain things, we can let it go. We don't have to hold on that. We can let it go. But it requires some reason. Some, you know, like effort, you know, some reason to let it go. So I think, you know, there are certain things, if you learn how to let it go, how you say, you're saying here, roll over. What do you call?
Roll off
your back. Roll off your back. Okay, time is over. Okay, sorry. So again, here, see, I talk much. I don't remember. So anyway, so I like to finish today from 9:08 to 15 stanza. That's my plan, but it doesn't happen. That's okay. So yeah, thank you. So next time I will definitely finish 15 stanza.
So now we're going to talk a little bit about the annual appeal.
Good morning. Many of you know me as the membership coordinator for the center. Today, like many of us here at the center, I've put on a different hat. And I come to you as part of the Financial Development Committee, which is basically an arm of the board that helps to work on raising money and funds necessary to keep the center going. So we're going to start off our 2013 annual appeal kickoff today with a very special message from one of our members. I'd like to introduce David Hines. Actually, we've all been recipients of David's generosity already. David is the person who purchased that wonderful Aquas water system that's out in the Canapa Cafe, and he provides the water that we use, that offering of water. So we've already been the recipients of David's generosity already, and now he's going to share a little bit more of his story with you. David?
My name is David Hines, and I'm not running for anything. I'd like to tell you how Canapa Center has benefited me and provided answers to questions I've asked for many years. The teachings I've received at Canapa Center have given me a deeper understanding of many things, including religion I grew up with. I was born in a very conservative family, Christian family in Guyana, South America. At the age of 20, I came to New York to go to school. Over time, I began to reach for a new spiritual path that would answer my questions. For a brief time, I studied Hinduism, and while it was good, it didn't satisfy me completely. Then for a while, I attended a Zen temple. Again, I felt the Zen was very good. Zen emphasized meditation, which works for a lot of people, but I had still questions. For a time, I stopped all religious activity. But about 2 years ago, I had a realization that I needed to be in a community of like-minded people to study and continue my spiritual exploration. I found Canapa Center, and here I found what had eluded me everywhere else. The intellectual stimulation of the Dharma study and an environment that welcomes and encourages questions. I can ask Geshe Gelug any question that makes a difference to me. For instance, that was this question I asked this morning.
Thank you very much.
My study of Dharma at Canapa Center has improved my respect and awareness tremendously for all sentient beings. In my work as a physician assistant, the Dharma encourages me to be more compassionate towards all patients, both in clinic and in the prisons. And while I've always had a respect for humans, I now have a new appreciation for the insignificant creatures. Canapa Center and Buddhism have given me an understanding that they're out to enjoy life too. They may seem like pests, but they just want to be happy like everything else. That's a big change in my awareness. We're all fortunate to be introduced to the teachings in this incarnation, and the sooner the better. I have two children who are both in college. My daughter, Bukhari, is a seeker and sometimes comes with me to teachings, while my son, Imari, has no interest in right now in religion. By the time I discovered Canapa Center, they were already grown. But I think the children's program here is a great opportunity for children to learn the Dharma at a young age. Canapa Center has given me so much. It's a place where I can expand my mind and ask questions and get answers and explore the Dharma more deeply. My favorite saying of the Buddha is not to accept anything just because he said it, but to investigate it, and if it makes sense, then practice it. I feel that if you're a human being with intelligence, you should use it. I never thought there was much to learn until I came here. Now I have an awareness that I was always a Buddhist and didn't even know that. I wish I were able to afford the entire cost of making Canapa Center many classes, teachings, programs, and visiting teachers available to all of us. While none of us do that single-handedly, each of us does make a difference. Together we can ensure that these priceless teachings remain available here in Raleigh, North Carolina. We all rely on each other's giving and generosity to support our center. Each year, we as a community pledge our support through our annual appeal. Canapa Center's drive to raise the funds needed to continue offering the teachings. Won't you please join me in making your pledge?
Thanks, David. So I'm here to give you the nuts and bolts, all the silly stuff. But those of you that were here last week saw Lisa's presentation, just a little bit about our budget and about what some of the costs are for a typical year. Our typical annual budget is about $240,000, which when you think about it isn't a lot. We run a lot of things on a shoestring here. And, you know, that $240,000 pays for Geshe-Gelek's expenses, our mortgage, our utilities, the spiritual program, you know, everything you see around here, it's all only $240,000, which isn't a lot. We also receive donations from teachings and in-kind in addition to the annual appeal. That's why our goal is often not the same as our actual full budget amount. So last year our goal was $84,000, and we got over $90,000 in pledges. And so this year we've upped it to $108,000. We like these numbers because they're significant Buddhist numbers for a lot of different reasons. So, and here's the thermometer that shows a little bit about, you know, we've got some pictures of some of the things that we do that make up our center. There's our budget of $240,000. Here's our goal, which is less than half. And we've already got, so you're going to talk about that? All right, she's going to talk about how much we've already got. But, you know, this is a great place, a lot of people. We've been going at about $240,000 a year for a while, you know, give or take a little bit, but we've been staying pretty steady. But over the last couple of years, we've done some visioning exercises, and we're working on moving towards growing some things and changing some things to accommodate more people. And, you know, there's a lot of things going on. So, you know, the more we can do as a community to, you know, get some of these funds coming in here, the more we'll be able to get started on maybe finding a new space to accommodate people, all that kind of stuff. So, and we've already started doing some of those visioning things. We created a new website. We're doing a lot of different things with membership. We're trying to offer some different things and getting more member activities and more community activities like the movie night we had last night, things like that. So, you know, it's a great place to be, and we hope that you can help. And I'm turning it over to Sandy.
Okay, thanks, Barb. That's kind of a brief explanation of what we do with the dollars. We'll be able to answer that a little bit more fully afterwards. But we've got another special message for you. So, right now, John, if you'd get the lights, or Donna, Chris, this is only a few minutes long.
What you're actually seeing right now is the live feed. My name is Geshe-Gelek Chöda. I'm from Sikkim. I was born in Sikkim. Yes. So I went to the monastery when I was 7 years old. So at that time in the monastery, there's no the physical building beside the temples. Everybody's living in the tent. At that time, there's like only 500 monks and 50 mini monks, little monks, only 50 of us. So now, you know, we have like close to 4,000 monks, a lot of buildings, you know, so, and good education programs, you know, good programs for education. 1997. I graduated from the monastery, then went to the junior college for 1 year, you know, to country course 1 year. So then after that, I came to Katanda Sense. When I first came, so now we have, you know, center in the basement, someone's office building under the basement. So that time I think there's like small groups, small group of people, you know. So we do we did grow a lot. We did grow a lot. So, and also, you know, we grow, I think, with wonderful people. Really, very wonderful people. So, yeah, people put a lot of energy, a lot of effort, you know, a lot of thought. So because of all the people, because of all of you, now we are here. Whatever we do here at the center, you know, so it's not like that we are doing something in Nepal or Tibet. We are developing here at the center. At the center, I firmly believe, you know, center does not belong to Gijgele. A lot of people think, oh, this is Gijgele Center. That's not right. That's not correct. Center is not owned by anybody. Center, you know, whoever comes here and you are part of the center, that's your center. You know, everybody's here volunteering and waiting, you know, and the power by good intentions, you know, to this is for benefit sentient beings. So whatever we do it, you know, for people here, you know, who come to the center. Yeah. So we are a good team, so you know, we really, you know, make physically, spiritually, we met a lot of progress. Yeah, last 40 years.
So beautifully said there, and has said often that this is our center. And that was just kind of a brief overview of the past few years here. And actually, Don, the Kadampa Center started, I believe, in your home back in 92. Is that correct?
In the 80s.
In the 80s. So, did you ever think that we'd be here today? But through the efforts of Don, Robbie, all of you people, I mean, I had a chance to look back at old archive pictures, and so many of you have put so much effort and love into this place, and it is, look at what it's become. And I think part of our plan for this annual appeal and for the future of Kadampa Center is that, you know, it's now our turn to kind of continue this wonderful place that has been created for us, that we're enjoying today and have been enjoying for many of us for years now. But we'd like to continue this, to be able to grow, to be able to continue to offer. And again, David, I think you said it beautifully as well. I think I can speak for every person in this room that I think we all wish that we could take care of all of this by ourselves, that we could just give the money to continue to have the center open and to provide the teachings. But, you know, there's not too many of us, I think, that could afford to do that. But together we can. Together we can. So that's what we're asking you today, is to think about what Kadampa Center, and it's not just the building, it's the people, it's the teachings, it's everything that's wrapped up in this community that we have. Look into your hearts, look into your minds, consider pledging to our 2013 annual appeal. Consider being a part of the future of Kadampa Center. Who knows where we'll be in the next 14 years. We also have some exciting news. We have a $5,000 matching grant for any new annual appeal donors. So if you're new to the center, or if you actually haven't given through the annual appeal format, we will, we've got funds that will match you dollar for dollar up to $5,000. So your merit doubles. Okay, that's huge. I remember that making a difference to me back a few years ago, that the little bit of money that I was able to give was actually doubled. So that made a difference to me. Again, we've got a $5,000 matching grant. And I've got even more exciting news. These letters just went out a few days ago. Many of you probably have received them already. Just in the last few days, We are already at $25,000. $25,000. That's like a third of the way for the annual appeal already. So that's really exciting news. I was actually shocked when I heard that one. At this time, I'd like the FDC to stand up, the Financial Development Committee. Actually, some people may be out in the lobby working. But if you've got questions about the dollars, the financing, that's Margie. Go ahead, stand up. Everybody stand up. It's a part of the FDC. Lisa, our treasurer, I'm going to have you stand up as well. If you have any questions about the Financial Development Committee, any questions about the Kanawha Center budget, any questions about how to be a part of the annual appeal, Donna, Margie, Lisa, Barb, myself, there's a few other members here, please ask us. We would love to sit down and explain more about it. If you have interest in being on the FDC, come talk to me. This is a wonderful group of people, and we're all here working because we get so much benefit out of this. So I think that's it. Thank you so much for your time, your consideration. I'm going to turn this back over to Barb so we can finish up with the dedication, and we also have a potluck that you are all invited to attend. Thank you so very much for your time.
To return to the white prayer book again, we'll read the dedication verses. Mr. Potluck also. We have time for the prayer. Prayers for happy rebirth. All those killed by natural and man-made disasters, all the Tibetans who have been killed or have taken their own lives in the struggle for religious freedom. Nancy York Appen, Mrs. Farrington, Dorinda Hartson, William Hirsch, Claude Hollyfield, Mary Honeybrink, Francis Katz, George the Dog, Isabel the Cat, Sierra the Dog. Job Search, Evi Hara, Beth Andrew, Gary Kane, Daniel Cunningham, Harish Pharma, Jenny First, Michael Fultz, Kate Harvey, Andrea Johnson, Brian Miller, Catherine Myers, April Walker, Tony Sloan, Rochelle Thompson, Lori Todd, SS, Anadine Silver, and Sarah. Difficulties of body and or mind, Venmo Lama Zompa Rinpoche, Venmo Chirkila, all those harmed by natural and man-made disasters, for the Tibetan people and for the Chinese authorities, Clem William Akins III, Denise Allen, Allison Appen, Jim Barnes, Nicole Burton, and siblings, Bill Burke, Ron Burroughs and family, Victoria Easterday Clark, Hester Clifford, Rose Ella Coleman, Allegra Dahlquist, Larry Davis, Jack Doger, Carrie First, Mildred Gooch, Barb and Fred Harris, Davis Helton, Lola Hilliard, William Hirsch's family, Claude Hollyfield's family, Mary Honeybrink's family, Leslie and Joan Enman, Paul and Kathleen Enman, Kenny Jackson, Buddy, Jessica James, Andrew Johnson, Sugi Jones, Helen Kasanoff, Francis Katz family, Arthur Katz, Shanti and Kurt Latimer, Aunt Lori, Alyssa Luck, Carolyn and Granger Marley, Bobby Martin, Jamine Pandya, Jay Pandya, Lively Pasquay, Catherine Paul, Mary Peterson, Aunt Polly, Sarah Noel Quinlan and her family, Duncan Quinn, Richard Robson, Rubin family, Paula Sable, Albert Sants, Rosemary Cease, C.J. Smithson, Jacob Smuckler, Mamie Stark, David Underwood, Claude and Vic Williams, Suzanne Williams, Judith Wormser, Casey the Dog, Fabio the Dog, Ninja the Cat, Skibby the Dog. If you have any names you'd like to add, would you please say them now? May all beings everywhere, plagued by sufferings of body and mind, obtain an ocean of happiness and joy by virtue of my merits. May no living creature suffer, commit evil, or ever fall ill. May no one be afraid or belittled with a mind weighed down by depression. May the blind see forms, the deaf hear sounds. May those whose bodies are born with toil be restored on finding repose. May the naked find clothing, the hungry find food. May the thirsty find water and delicious drinks. May the poor find wealth, those weak with sorrow find joy. May the forlorn find hope, constant happiness and prosperity. May there be timely rains and bountiful harvests. May all medicines be effective and wholesome prayers bear fruit. May all who are sick and ill quickly be free from their ailments. Whatever diseases there are in the world, may they never occur again. May the frightened cease to be afraid and those bound be freed. May the powerless find power, and may people think of benefiting each other. In the land encircled by snow mountains, you are the source of all happiness and good. All-powerful Chenrezig Tenzin Gyatso, please remain until samsara ends. The one who mastered his speech at a very young age. The one with great patience who received the name Avatara. The one with great precision who spread the teachings of Lama Tsongkhapa on bliss and void, Lama ornament of the yellow hat tradition, please remain until samsara ends. You uphold the subduer's moral way, who serve as the bountiful bearer of all, sustaining, preserving, and spreading Manjinath's victorious doctrine, who masterfully accomplished magnificent prayers honoring the three jewels, Savior of myself and others, your disciples, please live well. Then seven green Tara mantras. Om Tare Tu Re Soha. 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 Om Tare Tu Re Soha.
So I'm going to recite these three mantras, okay? Three mantras, so according to the teachings. So this is the first mantra. Whoever hears the mantras, it will prevent from the untimely death, such as accident, suicidal thoughts. I've been doing this since I got a request that, somebody said, kids has problems with the suicidal thought. So there's nothing really much I can do. So, since then, I decided to recite these mantras, which is supposed to prevent from untimely death, such an accident, suicidal thought. So then, so the second mantra is, to protecting be born in the lower realms. Then third mantra is, create the cause to be born amid the Buddha's pure lands, okay? So, no side effect.
Tambala me da jene, mo je jevala me da jene, mo je jevala me kudene, mo je jevne 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 k